Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow.
Tonight, I'm joined by Lana, and Lana's been having UFO encounters for the better half of the last decade. Lana, welcome to the show.
Hi, Cade. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. I always love a good UFO encounter, and yours are really, really interesting because they don't involve just you. They involve a non-believer that may be converted. So yeah. I'm very excited to talk to you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Something a little bit different, but definitely exciting.
Yeah, for sure. So are you able to take me back to the start and tell me where you really had your first UFO encounter and what that really entailed?
Yeah, so basically I was around about 16 years old. I've never had like a normal sleep pattern. I've always like woken up throughout the night, and for whatever reason, this one night I just decided I'll go out and sit on my back deck. And so I just went and sat out on the top of the stairs, and I was just enjoying the cool night air. It was a really clear night. It was really still. I lived at the time sort of like in the hinterland on the Sunshine Coast, so it was really pretty. There's lovely trees everywhere. So I was looking into my neighbor's yard and looking at the gum trees that sort of like border their yard, and as I was following them up, I'm looking up towards the sky, and as I like finish at the leaves in the canopy, there's this little section of open sky above me, and then as my eyes hit it, just like this massive blinding white flash hits me. It was so bright and overwhelming that like all of my vision, everything just went white. It was kind of, you could describe it, I guess, like a giant camera flash, like someone had like a camera the size of a plane in the sky that like took a photo or something. So it was super disorienting, and it only lasted a second, and as soon as it came, it was gone, and I'm just sort of left sitting there, like, I you know, there's fight, flight, or freeze, and I just froze. Like, I was so scared, I just couldn't do anything, because I'm thinking, what could that possibly have been, because there is no sound. I'm thinking like, okay, in the sky, helicopter. Obviously, it wasn't a helicopter that close. I would have heard something. It would have been hitting the trees if it were that close. And I just had no idea what it could have been. And so, yeah, it pretty much just ended with me frozen at the top of the stairs, unable to move for like 5 minutes.
I don't blame you at all, because that's one of those types of encounters that just really captures you off guard. And what do you make of that? Because you go outside to I don't know, relax for a minute, and then this happens. I mean, was there any indication that you could see this thing doing, I don't know, like maybe flying around or anything like that after that?
No, actually, it was quite funny because it was like almost, I could see it sort of like came from a source, if that makes sense. So it came from one source that was like facing me, but it almost looked like it was something that was perhaps joined onto the bottom of something else. I don't really know, but whatever it was wasn't visible, let's just say that. So only the light was the only thing that sort of like came through, and as I said, it only lasted like boom, like a flash for 1 second, everything goes white, and then just you're back to total complete eerie silence, you know, like it was just like, okay, what do I do now? And you know, because you go into that primal sort of fear mode as well, you're sort of like all of your senses are heightened, and you're, even though I was stuck there, I'm thinking like, okay, you know, if I move, something's gonna get me, you know, like that's just where your brain goes in that moment. And so I didn't hear anything, I couldn't see anything. I was, yeah, as I said, I was stuck there for a couple of minutes too, because I was like too scared to even get up. But no, I couldn't see or hear or anything else in terms of even like disturbances or anything like that in the area.
You couldn't see anything where this light came from. It was just all of a sudden just a big flash, and that was it.
Yep. It was just, it just came seemingly from nowhere, and it freaked me out so bad, I think, as well, because it was just, as you were saying, like you're just sitting out there relaxing, and I'm looking up just sort of like tracing the tree line upwards, and then as soon as my eyes hit this like dark patch of sky, it's like poof, you know, and it was really, really disorienting. But yeah, I think like that primal fear comes into it because, one, obviously you don't know what's going on, but you just have no idea how to respond to it, like, you know?
Well, that's it. People aren't made to deal with those types of situations, you know? It's,
yeah.
That's something that's, you know, genuinely from out of this world almost by the sounds of it. It's really, really odd, because I wonder if this thing that was in the sky thought you were looking at it and it maybe had to protect itself or something.
I don't know, because I mean, like, even just on your show and everything, I've heard of other people talking about like cloaking and how they've seen ships that are basically like, you know, almost exactly the same as the sky behind it, so they almost didn't see it or something. So, I mean, that could have been the case, and I just, like, you know, as I said, it happened so quickly, and because I wasn't really like looking, and I just got so blinded by this flash, like, I don't know, but yeah, it was really, really, really freaky.
Do you happen to know if you had any missing time or anything like that?
See, this is the thing. Because I was like around about 16 years old and I was so scared, I didn't think to like look at anything. And at the time, I didn't really know about, you know, the phenomena of missing time and things like that. So I didn't even think to check. I'm pretty sure I ran inside and then ran to my mum's room to like, Mom, oh my God. But yeah, no, I wish that I had known to check for something like that, but I just didn't know at the time.
That's probably a question that you're never going to know the answer to, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. And I have thought about it a lot as well.
Because that would be the thing that would really play on my mind is what happened there, because maybe it was a flash that kind of dispersed everywhere, or I'm wondering if this was just a flash that was directed at you.
Yeah, well, as I say, like, it was so disorienting, so you kind of have no idea really what's going on there. But I really wish that I had some concept of at least, you know, like a rough gauge of what the time was when I went out and when I came back in. But yeah.
So before that incident, were you much of a, did you know much about UFOs or anything like that? Because you said that you didn't really know about the whole missing time phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But before that, were you kind of aware of what, say, UFOs were in pop culture and things like that?
Yeah, I have loved like the whole concept of like aliens, UFOs and everything like that since I was a child, but I don't really know where that fascination started. It was just sort of like my mum would take me to get like DVDs or something like that as like a four-year-old or whatever, and I'd be like, let's get this like alien documentary. She'd be like, maybe let's get Disney instead. Like, but yeah, so I was always interested in it, but I guess just in a way that it was like something that was really intriguing to me, because I always remember being really, really little and my first question I'd love to ask people is, do you believe in aliens? So it's just this little weird child that's like, you know, kind of obsessed. But I don't seem to have like any, you know, memories or anything like that from when I was younger, say like anything that like an experience that would have triggered anything that I am aware of.
yeah, like there's nothing in there that kind of makes you feel like there was something that drew you to that for a reason.
I don't think so, no. It's just always been there, yeah.
No, that's cool. I think that's great. And I was pretty much the same when I was a younger person that I was just fascinated with that type of stuff. And I swear my parents must have thought I was an absolute weirdo.
Yeah. My mum too, hey.
So, okay, you had that encounter there, but that's not the only encounter that you've had with UFOs now, is it?
No. And see, it's, I don't even know really what to call these events. Like, I tend to call them light flash episodes because I just have no other like vocabulary basically to describe what's going on. But no, I did have another one of these sort of episodes, and it was a lot more recently. It was actually only last year. And it got a little bit more scary, I would say, because it got a lot closer this time. So obviously, like the first time this happened to me, I looked up into the night sky, something hits me, and I know, even in a sense of like, oh, you don't know what it was, it's like you can still think of like a couple of things to maybe settle your mind, you know, that might, maybe logically this could have happened or whatever. But this second time it happened inside my house. So it really unnerved me, I think, more than anything. So basically what happened was I had just gone to bed. My partner stays up a lot later than me, and he was off in another room. And so we basically will just, you know, close the whole house up, turn all the lights off, and I'll go to bed. And he shuts himself off in his other room. And I went to bed, and I had just gotten in. I was just, you know, doing that little shuffle you do to get comfy. And as I was shuffling, I just so happened to sort of face towards the doorway, and we leave the door open. And through the darkness, like just again, like as my eyes hit this area, this again, white, blinding, bright flash hits me from above. But this time, like I said in the first episode, it was like it came from a source, and it was the same this time, but it was a lot smaller. And as I say, it was inside, so it was underneath a roof, in a controlled environment. So I absolutely freaked out. So I'm lying there in the dark, flash, this thing, boom, hits me. And I just immediately start like calling out for my partner. I was too scared again to like get up and do anything because it looked like, you know, those big bulky camping torches. It was almost sort of like that size, I guess, like if someone would have turned one of those on and held it above you while you were in bed. But it was just blinding white, like And as I said, it, like, you know, it makes your vision just like go white for like a flash of a camera sort of thing. And so I yell for my partner and he runs in quickly and turns the lights on and everything. And I should mention at this point, he's an absolute skeptic. he never would even sort of give any leeway to the idea of like paranormal and stuff. So I just wouldn't talk to him about that kind of stuff, and that's fine. But obviously, I have to tell him what's just happened. And I'm thinking, like, what? How do I explain this? You know, like, oh, hey, I was laying in the dark, and then a light flashed on me, but it wasn't our bedroom light. It, like, I just didn't know what to say, so I just like explained it as best I could, and that was basically probably what I said. And his immediate reaction was logically to check the house for intruders. And I'm sort of lying there, like, you know, not moving out of bed, but the lights are on now, so I'm feeling a bit more safe. But I'm kind of like, I know that that wasn't a person, you know, like, that there was no sound, there was no nothing. I know there's no one in my house. I live in this tiny little unit, you know. And, you know, he goes off and checks the place, and there's, of course, no one in there. Everything's locked and shut still. So it kind of just gets to this point of like, well, what do we do then? Like, you know. So he kind of sat with me, and I was still really freaked out actually that night. But I just decided, you know, I'll go back to sleep. It'll be fine. But throughout, I want to say maybe like a couple of weeks around this time, our bedroom light started to randomly turn on in the middle of the night. And quite often it would turn on and just like enough to wake you up. And so you'd open your eyes and be like, oh, why is the light on? And then it would turn itself off. And so it was almost like something was just trying to get your attention or something.
That's really creepy.
Yeah, it was really, really weird. And I think sort of different times, either like one of me or my partner would like wake up when it would happen. Like, so sometimes both of us might wake up, or other times one of us might have just woken up and the other stayed asleep while the light turned on. So it was kind of like, oh man, like, you know, why do I have to be alone in this situation, you know? And it was particularly freaky too, like if you woke up by yourself with the light turning on, and by the time you sort of like look over to your partner to, you know, like I go to wake him up and then the light turns off and I'm like, don't do that to me. Like, you know, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's just straight up messing with you. And that's,
yeah,
I don't know if it's trying to be funny or if, yeah, it's trying to scare you, because one, it's kind of, I think that's super super creepy activity to be going,
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it's weird because it seems like, to me at least, it was like it wanted attention, you know. You don't wake me up by flashing the light in my eyes and then turn it off the second I wake up, you know. But the really weird thing was, so it took me a very long time to get this out of my partner, because as I say, he at the time was a massive, massive skeptic. He didn't like to even lend any kind of, you know, credence to anything like that. He wouldn't even think about it. So I ended up getting out of him months and months and months later with the help of some drinks, that on one of those particular nights during those couple of weeks when we were having the lights turning on and turning off, he woke up during the night one time and the light hadn't turned on, but he looked over at me lying in the bed beside him, and while the light was off he could see these two I don't even really know how to describe them, but like figures, like shape of a person, the outline silhouette of a person, but made of just pure white light. And so they apparently were tall, thin, sort of, you know, like lanky. But he basically saw these two beings leaning over me while I was asleep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've just got chills listening to that because I couldn't imagine being in that situation, being your partner, because to go from being someone who's a non-believer to seeing, which would be like the holy grail of paranormal / UFO encounters happening right there to your partner.
But also like not wanting to like believe it's actually happening, you know?
Yeah. So
it would have been like, you know, like bless him, it would have been a pretty awful situation to be in, but I could imagine it would have been pretty, you know, freaky, because basically how it ended was he got a look at them. They were, you know, as I said, leaning over me. He said one of them might have even been crouching, but the light turned on, and then all of a sudden you can't see these light beings anymore. So that kind of almost makes me wonder, like, are they there when the light's on and you can't see? Or you know what I mean?
My mind is swimming with theories right now because honestly, I have this idea that there's something in that unit or that house that was trying to protect you from these things.
Oh, yeah.
That's well, my theory because I'm wondering.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, because I wonder if it's turning the light on just as these things are maybe approaching you or something like that. And now, a quick word from our sponsor.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Oh, that's kind of a cool theory. It's also a little bit scary, though. Because you know, I've obviously, like, since being told that, when he told me that, I was like, my head exploded. I was like, how could you keep that from me? Like, but I think for me, I immediately kind of felt peaceful about it. And I don't know if that's just me associating, you know, white light with good, pure, you know, whatever. And that might be because, you know, growing up, I would, you know, be told about like white light meditation, you know, if you're getting scared of anything, imagine yourself in white light and everything like that. So that was always something that I guess I associated with positive, good, healing, you know. So I didn't, though, know how to take that any further, like how to sort of apply that.
Yeah, it's
what this could be, though.
Oh, absolutely. It's something that would, I don't know how anyone would really try to understand that or cope with that, because it's such an unknown of what that could be, because it I wonder if it could be something extraterrestrial. I wonder if it could be something spiritual.
Yeah.
It could be something, you know, something paranormal of some completely different kind that we don't even understand yet.
Yeah, see, because I was kind of, I don't know, I think because the first time that it happened in the night sky, I think you automatically go, UFO. But then when you have another experience and it happens inside your house, it gets a bit fuzzier, you know, like it's like, oh, well, that wasn't in the sky, that wasn't like a flying object, you know, that was... I have no idea what that was. And, you know, I hear about people talking about Min Min lights and things like that, and I love that, but obviously I don't think a Min Min light's coming into your house, like, to check on you while you're sleeping. So I just don't really know what category sort of to put it in, but I think with these things you do have to sort of trust your instinct and what you sort of like feel about the situation as well. And I guess I don't feel, in the moment I feel terrified, but like afterwards when I think about it, I'm kind of like, okay, well that was cool. And I mean, I can't see anything wrong or like that, you know, nothing's happened to me. I'm not sick. Nothing's, you know, but it really does make you, I guess, just question everything and wonder what's going on.
So what does your partner think of all of this now?
I think he's a bit more sort of open to these things now, but still, you know, he's always based in logic. He's always trying to find, you know, a reasonable, let's say, explanation for things. And I think that that's really great. You know, like he grounds things a lot. But I'm not really sure, you know. I think he's open to it, but we haven't really had anything else happen. So, I mean, like, touch wood, but, you know, I'd be interested to see if, you know, say in the future something else was to happen, I would want to see how he'd react to it that time, you know, see if it might change or, yeah.
So how many times did this type of phenomenon happen?
So the flash has only happened to me twice. So it's only been those two times with the flash for me. But I also do have some stories from my family as well to do with UFOs and things like that. So I wasn't really sure, you know, whether to tie that in, because again, we're not really sure what we're talking about here, but, I think it kind of, maybe could add to the story a little bit, knowing family history.
Yeah, for sure. Like what are some of those encounters that's kind of happened to your family?
Yeah, well, the main one that really, really piqued my interest when I found out about it was actually my great aunt and her husband. So this was back in the 1950s. This was in Mornington Peninsula in Victoria. So I think I was told it was around an area called Rosebud. So basically my great aunt and uncle were driving home one night, and this is country Victoria, so, you know, very pretty and country roads, and especially back in the 50s. So as they're driving, suddenly this bright thing, I don't know if they actually had the vocabulary again to describe what it was that they were seeing. And the interesting thing about that though is that my uncle, he was actually an airman in the army, so he's sort of looking at this craft or this thing, whatever it is, that's landing on the road in front of their car. So he's stopping the car and he's just thinking, you know, what is this thing? I have no scope of what this is, and I fly planes, you know, for a living. And he apparently turned to my aunt and said, I've got to go check it out. So he gets out of the car, and at this point, apparently all that both of them could remember was my uncle walking towards the car, and my aunt stayed in the car just absolutely hysterically screaming, because she just, you know, one, she didn't want to be left on her own in the car. She didn't know what was happening, and she certainly wouldn't have wanted her husband going out of the car while they didn't know what was going on. And so I feel like they had some missing time in that situation, because, as I say, that was all that they could remember. And when this happened back in the 50s, you know, they were very religious people. They were in a small town and they just had no idea who to talk to about this kind of thing. They thought, you know, we can't possibly bring this up to any of our friends, to anybody in town, because they're going to think we're mad. But they had this incredible experience that they basically only ended up telling my grandpa, which was that aunt's brother. And it's kind of just been this weird thing that's been in our family. And I couldn't believe that it took so long for me to find that story out, to be honest with you. But yeah, so that was the encounter from the 50s. And we do have also that aunt who was in that experience, her niece, also lived down in the Mornington Peninsula, sort of that area. I believe that this place was called Baxter in Victoria, and they owned this large farm down there. And that niece would look out the window all night and just watch what she would call UFOs flying through the sky and landing on this hill that was behind their farm.
You're kidding.
And I'm just like, it was just like such a casual thing, you know. It was just like, yeah, that happened like most nights, you know.
Wow, Lana, your family has got some like secret history going on here.
Something's going on. Yeah, so it was pretty wild. And that niece, so she, I think technically, because, you know, I get confused with all of the like family tree stuff, so I think technically I would call her my auntie or something like that, but it's my mum's cousin. I don't know. Anyway, she actually passed away, I think it was at the very beginning of this year, at the very end of last year, and we only just got those stories from her because she was one of the last, well, no, she would have been the last living person who knew the story of my uncle and aunt that night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, out on the road in Melbourne. Because as I said, they did not tell anybody about this. They were so scared about what their, you know, their reputation getting ruined and people thinking that they're crazy. So they would only tell a couple of people, and they were only people in our family. And one of them must have just happened to be that, you know, niece of theirs that was also very interested in UFOs. So I can imagine that she would have found great comfort sort of, you know, in hearing things like that. And for me, to a certain degree as well, it's quite cool to sort of look back and think, okay, well, you know, my aunt and my great aunt and everything like that, you know, they had their experiences, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's unbelievable. It is one of the most fascinating UFO stories that I've ever heard. I mean, having a UFO land in front of your car and then,
yeah,
then nothing, like,
yeah, and
no,
then you just,
no memory, nothing like that.
Yeah, and the thing I love about that story particularly is that Fraser, the uncle, he was an airman, so he's looking at this flying object just going, what am I looking at, you know, to the point where despite all the danger and the fear he must have been feeling, he felt the need to get out of the car and go up and try to see what this thing is.
It just makes me wonder what kind of secret they lived with their whole
yeah.
life. Because
yeah.
I wonder if there's more to that story. I wonder if there's if they encountered things that they just couldn't bring themselves to talk about.
Absolutely. I think about that as well, because if it was so hard to tell even family that, you know, that much of a story, imagine, you know, what they wouldn't want to tell anybody.
Yeah, it's a shame that story's kind of lost to time now. It would have been fascinating to kind of get a record of that, because
yeah,
that could have been one of Australia's most, I guess, important UFO encounters.
Possibly. I mean, I wish I could have gotten it straight from the source, but as I say, they were my great aunt and uncle, so they were probably, you know, gone when I was a child, which is really unfortunate. I would have really loved to chat to them one-on-one, and you know, I feel like maybe it would have even been therapeutic for them to get all the details out, because it's like, finally, you know, I can just tell someone everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so disappointing that it happened at a time where they felt like they couldn't talk to anyone about it. That's the real shame of all of that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So Lana, these encounters that you've had,
mm-hmm.
what do you think they are? Like, do you think they might be something otherworldly? Do you think it might be more paranormal now that you've kind of spoken about it?
I think, see, through my sort of like research and stuff, I call it research, it's loosely termed Googling. So I just sort of, you know, I've looked up so many times specifically like beings made of white light, light beings, energy beings, whatever these things could be, because I've heard other people talking about stories that involve them. And I've always sort of heard them referred to as different things. And one story that I actually heard, I can't remember which podcast I was listening to, but this guy said that he actually saw one of these beings in his house one time. And it was at a time that his dog was really sick, and his wife was praying and praying and praying for this dog. And apparently he sees this energy being in his house, and the next day his dog is, you know, cured. This old dog is, you know, feeling like a puppy again or whatever. But again, that's like a secondhand account, but it kind of made me like, ooh, you know, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it was healing me. Like, and I think that that's just my brain wanting that to be like a nice truth, because everything else you're just kind of like, oh my god, what are these guys and what do they want?
Yeah, it's I would try to take it as positively as you can.
Yeah,
because I mean the fact that they're these light beings that seem to be almost looking over you is,
yeah,
that very well could just be a good omen.
Yeah.
And I think it's always good to have that type of positive mindset when it comes to this type of stuff, because
it's
so easy to go down that rabbit hole of, oh, could it be dangerous, could it be bad? I mean, heck, I even did it about 20 minutes ago with you to go, I wonder if the lights turning on and off were like a warning to rid these things. But who knows?
Yeah, well, like, as you say, it's like kind of trying to piece together all of the little bits of these scenarios, because to me it seems like it has to link up, you know, the flash is coming from the sky and from above me, and then these light beings standing above me, and also our light above us in our bedroom turning on and off and things like that. It's, you know, it's all things involving light of different degrees, and the fact that it's happened in different houses and different areas too, because I currently live in a different area to where I did when the first account happened when I was a teenager. That, you know, again, leads you to sort of question, like, is this something that's following me, or is this me? Like, is this something to do with me? Or I don't know. Like, there's so many theories that your brain sort of like tries to look for, but I guess that's kind of the beauty of this game, is you don't know, so you can't really think too hard about anything, really. You can have fun speculating, but I mean, as I said, nothing negative has happened to me, so I can't just automatically be scared, you know.
And that's the best way to be, because as long as you're not in danger, and the experiences are either neutral or positive,
yeah,
there's nothing to worry about, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I'm just going to take things as they come. And I mean, I'm more just curious about everything more than anything. Like, as I said, it's scary when you're in the moment, but afterwards you just want to know more, you know?
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au. Or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/BelieveUFORadio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.